The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Welcome to Ask an Atheist, a live educational call-in program where you get to ask a rotating cast of atheists questions related to atheism, separation of church and state, and other topics of interest to us and of interest to you. We'll be taking your calls this hour at 253-584-1480. My name is Becky, and with me today in the booth, I'm so lucky to have two of our producers, Sam.
Hello.
And Beth.
Hello.
How are you guys today?
Really, really good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Sam.
Good.
Did you know today that it's 97 days till the backpedaling begins? We are counting down. Last week it was seven more than 97.
Yeah.
Well, if you are interested in what we are talking about, you can go to wecantknow.com to count down as well to the day after a group of loosely affiliated Christians under the umbrella of, I believe, the organization Family Radio.
Yes.
They believe that Jesus will make some kind of triumphant return on May 21st, 2011. And we at Ask an Atheist are actually counting down to the day afterwards.
And every week we've been speculating about the kind of backpedaling we're going to get, be it just a silent, we don't know, so it stops, or whether or not it happened and we didn't see it. And again, last week, we also heard from Manolo from,
yes.
What is the name of that podcast?
Manolo is one of the podcasters of podcast A Teorizar, one of the Spanish language podcasts that's available online.
Great. Yeah. And he provided us with a map available on our website at askanatheist.tv, which outlines the international phenomenon that their website, We Can Know, documents or is trying to pull.
Yeah, but a fair warning, it's a pretty intense visual if you're going to go check it out. There's a lot of little flags on that map.
But was it put together by somebody involved with that movement, or was it put together by somebody watching it? Do we know?
I'm not sure where it comes from, but I know that their map is actually provided originally at eBibleFellowship.com. So I would think that either they liked the idea of it or they themselves came up with it. So,
okay.
Beth or Sam, have either of you seen the actual billboards proclaiming, we can know when Jesus is coming back?
Other than online, I haven't. Have you, Beth?
No, I haven't seen any in person, definitely. I've seen them online, though. They're pretty impressive. I've seen the car painting as well. That's dedication.
Yeah, the car painting has been something I've seen as well. I haven't seen the actual advertising, but other than just people being interested.
So I guess to our listeners, if you believe that we can't actually know or we doubt that Jesus will actually return on May 21st, 2011, feel free to paint your car with wecantknow.com, and you too can have the countdown going in your head, not to when Jesus will return, but to when we will gleefully observe what our believers who believe that they can know
And
will
I think
do.
We'll be throwing some sort of event when the day arrives.
Hopefully. Some sort of Armageddon party is in order, I believe. Although I know it's not Armageddon. It's just the kickoff to Armageddon.
When
but
that
still.
Great day. Yeah, there's like a three-month period and then...
It's 6 months according to this group, but...
I always thought that 2011 was kind of strange, that apparently it ends, that the world officially ends in December of 2011. Maybe they're just grandstanding the Mayans at this point. I haven't been able to shake that from my mind.
I would imagine that has something to do with it, definitely. And Sam, I believe that we actually got a listener email about the end of the world and whether we can know whether Jesus is returning and whether we can know whether the world is going to end.
And I think there's a reason I was fielded this one. This is from Oscar from Sweden, and he has a comment about countdown to backpedaling. And his email goes like this. A friend of mine said, God is like Duke Nukem Forever. I believe in it when I have it in front of me. So now we may fear that Jesus will arrive on May 3rd instead of May 21st. And for those of you not in the know in video game lore, Duke Nukem Forever is a first-person shooter that has now been in development for something like 14 years.
Yeah, an incredibly long amount of time.
Wired magazine called it the number one vaporware in computing history. And it just recently passed, is one of the first video games to pass Australia's video game ratings laws with no modifications, if you follow sort of the politics of video games. So, I mean, it's got its own thing now, and it's actually coming out, which is why he says May 3rd. But we've been waiting for it. It's gone through five different companies and things like that. So it was sort of much like the end of the world, which is coming. It's basically the same thing. It's the ultimate in vaporware.
So some people make plays waiting for Godot, and some people make video game parables.
Right.
Either way, we at Ask an Atheist doubt that we will see the return of Jesus May 20th or May 21st or really any time in 2011 or thereafter. So far, we haven't really been presented with much good evidence.
Absolutely.
So this was, thank you, Oscar. This was an email sent to us by listeners, and we welcome you to send emails by going to askanatheist.tv and clicking the big red button to ask a question. If you're listening live right now and you would like to ask us a question, please go ahead and call 253-584-1480. Beth, you had an email from a listener here in Tacoma.
Yeah, I have an email from a local. His name is Darren. He's actually met with us at the after program parties or gatherings that we sometimes have at different locations around the area. And his question has to do with being an atheist. He states that he's been an atheist for over 10 years now and that most of his friends are aware of it. However, he's from a very religious family, which is something I think a lot of us can sort of we can empathize with him from this position. But he states that his family would certainly not disown him for being an atheist, but what would happen is they would spend countless hours praying for him and worrying that he is going to hell. And he states, it seems to me that the negatives greatly outweigh positives in coming out to them. At this point, I'm of the opinion that the ignorance is bliss and would rather let them continue to believe I'm a Christian. Is that just a cop-out, he asks. Have any of you dealt with a similar situation?
Well, I believe, Sam and Beth, you both grew up in agnostic or irreligious households, so you wouldn't have had the same kind of experience coming out to family members directly. But I imagine that it is kind of a shock to other people that find out, maybe not in your immediate family, that find out that you were not raised as religious.
That's not entirely true in my case, in that my immediate family, my nuclear family, if you will, was very agnostic. But there is a branch of my family that is not intensely religious, but is specifically religious. And in those cases, it was a surprise to them when I finally told them I was an atheist.
Did any of them have any troubles and worries for you? And did any of them that you know of spend time praying for you?
I don't know about the praying, but I know they worried about me. In that sort of most of that family was Lutheran, and so they worried about me in the general Midwestern Lutheran way, where we'll be very polite about it, but we're worried you're going to hell.
I see.
Here's some casserole, because it's Lutherans. Haha. But
well, I think that the advice that I would give Darren, and I probably am not the best person to give this advice since I've never been in this situation, but the way that I feel about it generally is that if you're the only one who knows your situation, you're the only one who knows the nuances of your family dynamic. And while you may feel pressure from the atheist community to come out, because there is a lot of talk amongst atheists that if you're atheist, you should be proud of it, the out campaign, that sort of thing. I think that it's your life. And if you know from your dynamic that it would cause more problems to be open about your atheism than it would to just keep it under wraps, I don't see any reason why, unless you have a personal need to have this be known about yourself, why you would really discuss it.
Yeah, he asks if it's a cop-out. I suppose if I were thinking about it, I'd say, yeah, I guess it is a cop-out. But it's a necessary one. If the happiness of yourself and your family is important to you, then by all means, make your decisions based off of that. And don't let the visibility movement get in your way. But if you feel it's important to you to make that decision and to let people know that you're an atheist, as we have, then by all means, make that decision. I know there are people out there who will make judgments based upon what you do there. I don't. You're obviously in the community. You're obviously helping out. We've met you. We've talked. And a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of people that aren't out to their family, but are generally in the atheist visibility movement, and more power to them. There's definitely no judgment in my case.
And that kind of leads us into a third email of the day from a listener, Mel in Australia, who asks, what should we do as atheists if we're asked to pray or say grace by someone around us, and is there a polite way to refuse? I imagine that this may come up for Darren if he sort of navigates his existence as an atheist if he chooses not to tell his family of his proclivities and his opinions and his understandings of how the world works. Now, what Mel asks is really sort of threefold. There's what if we're asked to pray, or what if we're asked to say grace? And there's many situations that the three of us can sort of, I'm sure, envision. One is, say you're sitting down to a Thanksgiving meal and you are asked, as a formerly religious person in your family, to lead grace. One might be, well, maybe we're just sitting down all together and we all hold hands, bow our heads, and listen to someone else say grace. And one is when you have someone coming up to you and saying, oh, your brother's in the hospital or someone's suffering, or, you know, keep us in your prayers or say a prayer for us this evening. And those are three really different situations, and I think probably between the three of us, we would have very different ways of approaching that.
Absolutely.
Some of us may refuse, and some of us may not even refuse. But Mel specifically asks, what do we do, and is there a polite way to refuse? I do want to let Mel know that that anything that you should do should be up to you, and anything that we say here, we wouldn't be able to tell you, well, you as an atheist should do this. No, you as an atheist should be able to decide for yourself, and we'll tell you what we do or what we would suggest.
Right. Well, in my case, if in the case of saying grace at dinner or something like that, I say no thank you, or if I know the family, I'll suggest that somebody else do it, and just sort of pass the buck, as it were. But if they get to the point where they're pushing me to say grace, and this has happened once or twice, where it's, no, it's your turn, you must, at that point, you're being pushed into doing something you don't want to do, and it's time to be a little bit more frank, and not impolite. There's a difference between frankness and impolite. And in those cases, I have said, well, I'm not actually a religious believer. I would prefer not to.
Well, and I would also point out that there definitely is a polite way to refuse to do anything. But you also have to be prepared for the possibility that you could politely refuse in a way that shouldn't be a problem for anyone, and people might still choose to take it in a way that paints you as an impolite person, just because of the nature of not being a religious person and having that sort of mentality that you're bringing to the table. There's a lot of assumptions that get made about atheists. So you can be as polite as you possibly can be, and you might still leave feeling like you were impolite, but you need to be solid in what you've said, not how people have reacted to it.
That's a really good point, Beth. And I think that knowing your surroundings, knowing your audience, and knowing the people that you're with can go a long way in determining how you do that. Oftentimes, if you're invited as a non-religious person or as someone of a different religious persuasion to a family event or a life cycle event that takes place in a church or a synagogue or a temple, and the families are well aware that you may not believe in their particular practices and religion, they may be very well expecting people to refrain from bowing or from saying and reciting prayers, and that is very polite. There are other places where it will be seen as impolite if you do anything other than go along with exactly what's going on there. So I know many atheists just try and remove themselves from those kinds of situations. If you have something to say on this subject, now would be a great time to call us, ask us, share your experience with this. Our phone number here in Tacoma is 253-584-1480. Again, that's 584-1480. We're at Ask an Atheist. You can also ask us online at askanatheist.tv.
Yeah, look for the giant red button on the website. You can't miss it.
Like button.
So Sam and Beth and I today are going to be talking about Darwin. And we wanted to, Charles Darwin, who is the father of, largely considered the father of evolutionary theory. And we actually had a news story that was highly related to this topic. And
so this comes to us from the Mercury News. And I'll give you a brief sort of a brief reading of it. Representative Pete Stark, who made waves in 2007 by coming out as Congress's only avowed atheist, delighted secular humanists and took a jab at religious conservatives this week by offering a resolution to proclaim Saturday as Darwin Day. Stark, a Democrat from Fremont, introduced House Resolution 81 on Wednesday. It praises Darwin's theory of evolution and the monumental amount of scientific evidence he had compiled to support it, which provides humanity with a logical and intellectually compelling explanation for the diversity of life on Earth. And we actually have a copy of that resolution, do we not?
Yes, we do. And you can find a copy of this resolution online as well. All of the resolutions that are presented before Congress and the Senate are published online. And the basic title of this is House Resolution 81, Expressing Support for the Designation of February 12, 2011, that was yesterday, as Darwin Day and Recognizing the Importance of Science in the Betterment of Humanity. And this was in the House of Representatives, and Representative Stark submitted this on Monday. We're going to be talking a little bit more about this after we come back from the break. Again, you're welcome to call us at 253-584-1480. We'll be back.
Person and you'd like to join the Ask an Atheist crew after the show for conversation, beer, hot dogs, and brats, it's happening at 5 o'clock at the Red Hot.
The Red Hot specializes in craft beers and delicious hot dogs and brats. On tap right now,
Airways Brewing First Class IPA,
New Belgium Mighty Arrow Pale,
Georgetown Brewing Rogers Pilsner,
Everybody's Brewing Pucker Huddle Porter,
Firestone Walker DBA,
Great Divide Grand Crew,
Grim Bergen Double,
Old Tacoma Lager, and five more craft brews.
Join us at the Red Hot, 2914 6th Avenue in Tacoma.
This is a 21 and over establishment.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an integral part of your business. But that's not all. We can set you up with VoIP, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to helping your business succeed through and with technology. At Tacoma Telematics, we are committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
And welcome back to Ask an Atheist. Call us in at 253-584-1480. But before the break, Sam and Beth and I were talking about the House resolution that Pete Stark from California brought to the House of Representatives, expressing support for designating yesterday, which is happens to be the anniversary of Charles Darwin's birthday, as Darwin Day, in order to recognize the importance of science and the betterment of humanity. Beth had just, or Sam had just read an article, at the beginning of an article, that was entitled Pete Stark Jabs at Religious Right with Darwin Day Resolution.
It repeats jab and jab all, you know, several times, and has really, as you guys were pointing out when we were talking about this the first time out, it has some really inflammatory descriptions of the way Pete Stark is doing this.
One of the things that really jumped out at me is that it said, it describes the resolution as praising Darwin's theory of evolution and the monumental amount of scientific evidence. And I don't know, it just really sort of roiled me a little bit to hear such weighted language, such religiously weighted language and such aggressive language in a news story about this. This resolution was really co-sponsored, or it was brought by Pete Stark with the help of the American Humanist Association, which is not known for praising anything or jabbing at anything.
Not in a religious sense. I suppose you could use the word praise in a secular way, where, you know, the work that Darwin did was very nice, thank you. But I wouldn't say it's not like we're all getting on our hands and knees and being happy for Darwin. It's not that kind of thing at all.
Well, one of the immediate thoughts that I had when I read this was the statement, jabs at religious right. If I were a religious conservative, I would take issue with that sort of that way of framing the article itself, because there's no reason why understanding and appreciating evolution has to be antithetical to religion. It doesn't have to be that way. They're not competing ideas. And so when you read these articles, and this is just one example of sort of the status quo in terms of the language and the tone that articles that have to deal with Darwin and evolution specifically typically take, it sort of sets up the stage as if you believe in evolution, you couldn't possibly be religious, or you can't possibly be as devoutly religious as someone else. And that's simply not true. It's a lie that's been perpetuated by fundamentalist Christian organizations mainly, although we have examples of other religions that rail against evolution as well. And it doesn't help the dialogue in any way.
Yeah. And
also one of the things that I saw about this article was that one of the commentators that was interviewed for this was from senior vice president of the Conservative Family Research Council's Legislative Action Arm. So it's a lobbying group from the religious right, as you had been talking about. But he actually says that this is essentially a waste of taxpayer time and money to be recognizing someone like Charles Darwin as someone to be celebrated. And it seems very strange to be looking and criticizing that when the content of the bill actually looks at specifically using Darwin as the anniversary of Darwin's birthday as a day for to recognize the importance of science.
Right. We have Martin Luther King Day in order to highlight the importance of the civil rights movement in the 1960s and the work that Martin Luther King did, and nobody thinks that's a waste of money. And we're in a situation right now where it's perceived that the U.S. is falling behind in science education, and it seems like a similar thing where we can use a day like today, Darwin Day, in order to highlight what we're doing, as what science has done, where science has gone, and especially in the fields of medicine and biology. It seems like a perfect opportunity to do it. And I think if you want to make an argument that maybe we shouldn't have a Darwin Day but some other sort of science day, I can go with that. Some people might say that Darwin wasn't a U.S. citizen, so we shouldn't have a day for him or something like that. But nobody's saying that. They're just saying it's a waste of our time.
Well, and I think you touched on something when you mentioned Martin Luther King Jr. Day, because Martin Luther King Jr. was an impressive person. He did do a lot for the civil rights movement. But in that context, in the context of celebrating his birthday, we're using him as a figure to represent a larger movement. And so when we use Darwin, when we're talking about evolution, Darwin is not the end-all be-all of evolution. He's just the most recognized and well-known figure that we can attach to the theory where people will know what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And that's really echoed in the resolution in statements like, whereas it has been the human curiosity and ingenuity exemplified by Darwin that has promoted new scientific discoveries and helped humanity solve many problems and improve living conditions. Who could argue with that kind of thing right now?
Exactly.
So if you'd like more information on this, I encourage our listeners to go to AmericanHumanist.org. That is the legislative action branch, also of the American Humanist Association, who helped Pete Stark bring this. So thank you. I Becky Friedman, say thank you to Pete Stark for bringing this resolution to the attention of our legislators.
I suppose I'll add my voice to that as well. I think it's a great idea. I think we should do it.
I'm not going to say thank you because I'm contrary.
Fair enough.
But thank you.
Well, speaking of contrary, we actually have a call from, I believe, a repeat caller, Gary, from England.
Are
Hi,
you
Gary.
Doing?
Hello, how you doing?
How's it going, Sam? Okay.
Good. What do you have for us?
Darwin, I think he ought to be celebrated.
Isn't he on money?
Sorry?
Isn't he printed on money in your country, I think?
He used to be on old £10 notes.
Oh, okay.
But we change his currency every other week. we have new people on £10 notes, £5 notes every other 5 days. So, anyway, Darwin, he was the first scientist in England who actually he lived in 1800s, and he went against religion. And for that, the religious people have latched onto him, and the... give him a load of grief.
And what's ironic about that, and I think that's something that needs to be that needs to be said, is that while you are correct, that was actually one of the considerations that Darwin made that made him not release his theory as soon as he could have, because he had a very religious wife. While Darwin was somewhat unconcerned with religion himself, he was always... He always self-identified as a religious person, even during his times of faith. But because his wife Emma was so religious, he did not release his theory as soon as he could have. So it's sort of ironic that religious people rail against him when, in fact, he considered it himself.
It was religious repression that stopped him bringing out his theories earlier than he could have.
Maybe not express religious repression, but I think the religious climate in the 19th century definitely had its part to play.
It did, yeah. It's a shame.
And the interesting thing here is that he wasn't the only one purporting evolution via natural selection. He was the only, and what made this controversial wasn't that the speciation of animals, but was in fact the speciation of humans.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I say it's a shame. I say. The theists are always attacking Darwin as though he's some sort of prophet figure. I've just been on your website, and like I say, you said you were talking about Darwin, and he's not a prophet. He's not a prophet, no, because obviously he was. Was he an atheist? Was Darwin an atheist?
Absolutely not.
No, not that we know of. No.
No, and like everyone's latched onto him as some sort of atheist prophet, which is a shame. He's a scientist who used his brain. I can go as far as saying he was the first free thinker. You know, the free thinker.
Actually, the free thinker philosophy has tracks which go far before Darwin. There was sort of 16th and 17th century Polish thinkers who played their part in the free thinker movement. There's actually some religious influence in the freethinker movement, people who were otherwise religious but said, we need to start coming up with human human solutions to these problems because we're creating them ourselves. I think Darwin definitely played his part in the freethinker movement. I don't want to minimize that. But the freethought movement is something that goes all the way back to not just the 19th century, but the very Enlightenment itself. And I don't want to undersell that.
That's good. Is it possible to have a scientist who is religious?
I think that it is possible to have a scientist who is religious, and there are various polls, at least that I know of American scientists, that the majority of the published scientists that are affiliated with research universities are less religious than the general population. But many, many scientists and many science educators do profess some religious affiliation, whether it's a strong belief in a 6,000-year-old world. I doubt that there are very many professorial published, scientists that are of that conviction. So, Gary, thank you so much for bringing the topic to the fore. We are going to be discussing how Darwin can sometimes be misconstrued as a prophet, and you bring up some really good points. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks a lot. See you again.
Thank you. Great talking to you, Gary.
It looks like we may have another call.
We do, but I got to stop.
Okay, go ahead, Sam. What do you got to stop with?
All right.
Tell us, Sam.
So we talk a lot, you and I, and something that came out recently, I think 2 weeks ago when you were on the show, was that we're sort of an item. And
we're an item?
Yeah, apparently. But you've been telling me that a lot of what's going on here and a lot of what we've been working on wouldn't have happened because if I hadn't been here. And it's really helped me out. I mean, there's a bunch of players, and I know you've never undersold anybody else, but you've said that I do a lot of work to make this happen.
Well,
but
he does.
The other side of that is this wouldn't have happened at all if you hadn't been here, because I would have never come up here. And I would never have been able to do the support thing without your support, without everything you've done for me, without everything you've done for everybody. I couldn't have done it without
you. Maybe the first time that I've seen Sam look a little nervous.
I'm a little nervous. You've helped me. You've supported me. I've helped you and supported you, of course. You know, you say that to me all the time, but I don't think I say that enough. And I've really enjoyed the sort of the joyful conspiracy of what we've done, and I want to hang on to it for as long as I can. Becky, would you marry me?
Oh, wow. This is an amazing moment. They're both speechless.
I don't believe he did this.
I'm waiting for an answer, actually.
Of course. Of course. Sam is not one for...
Oh, they're the cheering crowd goes outside. Wild outside. Fantastic.
Sam is not one for ritual and... Well, I won't say he's not one for romance, but he's not one for ritual, so this is highly unexpected for me. But yes, of course, and thank you, Sam.
No problem.
Should we go to a break, or should we take this caller?
No, we're taking this call. This is Case...
Hi, caller.
We hung up. Never mind. We had folks over at Darwin Day, which is a Seattle Atheists event, where they were listening to this. So your parents, I believe, were listening to this.
My parents?
Yeah, yeah. And as were mine. And so, you know, it's kind of generally known now. That
I guess so. Some of our fans of the show were kind of wondering... Oh, Sam and Becky. Who are they referring to? Oh, Sam and Becky are together? I get that. All right.
Well, we got a call that can help us, I think.
We do have a call from Daniel from Wasilla, Alaska. He, I believe, is affiliated with the website talkatheist.org.
How you doing?
Hi, pretty good. How about you?
Quite good, actually. I don't know if you heard what just happened, but...
I'm reading the IRC channel for my website right now, and I heard what just happened.
Oh, you've got an IRC channel? Oh, man, I love chat. Tell me about it.
The IRC channel is talkatheist@freenode.
Oh, awesome.
The website, talkatheist.org, is a website. Are you familiar with Mormon.org's Chat with Mormon service?
No, actually, I'm not familiar with it. Can you fill us in a little?
Well, Mormon.org has a website where you can go to the website. You can enter your name and a question and chat one-on-one with a Mormon missionary.
Okay.
Kind of like an e-missionary service. So me and a few other people decided to create a website that's very similar to that, but instead of talking with a Mormon, you're actually talking with an atheist.
Oh, that's great. It reminds me of something we used to do, or we kind of still do with Seattle Atheists, where it says 25 cents, ask an atheist 25 cents, and other assorted things which Mike had done, which actually that were very similar, which gives you the title of the show, where, yeah, it's come up and ask us a real live question, and somebody says, oh, you're asking for money to ask questions? And then usually I brought some extra quarters, so whenever somebody pulled that, I just put a quarter in myself and go, ask away.
The site actually, it started off, I was thinking it was going to be like a very small project, you know, me and a few friends answering questions and things like that, but it's actually exploded into this huge community.
Cool.
Of people, and we've got support from people from websites like the Secular Student Alliance. They were talking about making a blog post about the site. And Hemant from friendlyatheist.com.
Yeah, and, Friendly Atheist has been a big friend of the show as well. So
yeah. Yeah.
So your website is talkatheist.org, and then if you're of the IRC persuasion, such as I am, you guys have, it's Talk Atheism on Freenode? Pound Talk Atheism, is that
talk,
right?
It's Talk Atheist
pound
at Freenode.
Pound Talk Atheist at Freenode. And then I guess it's, yep. Is it talkatheist.org or talkatheism.org?
TalkAtheist.org.
Okay.
And there's IRC info on the website as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel. No, we'll check it out.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's exciting. I like to see the fact that there are so many more of those sort of things popping up that are atheist-centric because, you know, we've talked about it over and over again, and the Out campaign really really outlines this, but it's helped, I think, a lot of people to have a support structure that they can go to. And the more of these groups that pop up, the more support we can give each other. And, you know, we can really feel more comfortable in our own skin, in our own communities.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of chat rooms. if I haven't said.
I like how Daniel said, well, we thought it was this small thing, and then it exploded into something big. And it's amazing how the internet can really reach a lot of people. And
yeah, we've got you know, as producers, we really see the show with two audience avenues. Is we do feel that the broadcast channel is very important because it gets our voice out to people who haven't seen it before. She's looking at her ring, folks.
She is. And I just want to, I'm sorry, I totally dropped the ball on that. Congratulations.
Oh, thank
guys.
You.
Oh my goodness. I'm sitting here just going, oh, I really like that ring. But congratulations. It's amazing.
Wow. I've never done anything like that before.
She had to actually ask me what finger to put the ring on. That's how unexpected this is. So amazing. Good times.
So I think that we'll be back for our final 20 minutes of our show in a little bit. We'll be talking about Darwin and is Darwin a prophet?
Thank you.
If you're an atheist or atheist-friendly person and you'd like to join the Ask an Atheist crew after the show for conversation, beer, hot dogs, and brats, it's happening at 5 o'clock at the Red Hot.
The Red Hot specializes in craft beers and delicious hot dogs and brats. On tap right now,
Airways Brewing First Class IPA,
New Belgium Mighty Arrow Pale,
Georgetown Brewing Rogers Pilsner,
Everybody's Brewing Pucker Huddle Porter,
Firestone Walker DBA,
Great Divide Grand Crew,
Grim Bergen Double,
Old Tacoma Lager, and five more craft brews.
Join us at the Red Hot, 2914 6th Avenue in Tacoma.
This is a 21 and over establishment.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an integral part of your business. But that's not all. We can set you up with VoIP, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to helping your business succeed through and with technology. At Tacoma Telematics, we are committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Hi, welcome back to Ask an Atheist. Our number is 253-584-1480. Call us if you would like to talk about things related to atheism, related to the fact that Sam just gave me a ring.
Love's in the air.
I did. The interesting thing is that took some doing to get, hunting it down, finding one that might actually fit you and stuff like that. And I was a little afraid that I wouldn't get it in time. So in case I didn't get the time, I actually have an emergency backup ring, which I think you'll like it.
Can you read the inscription on the ring?
It says, it's a purity. Is this a purity
it's
ring?
It's a purity ring.
True love waits. True love. There are three of them.
It's a
it's one for me.
Just
you.
So you know.
Is one of these meant to be for Beth?
No, they're inner. They're weirdly
I'm not getting roped into this.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't. Trust me. Save yourself. Get out now. And, you know, if you kind of squint and look at it funny, it actually looks like it says Love Tom Waits, which, okay, yeah.
Which we all do,
yeah,
obviously.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Tom Waits is pretty cool.
And I'm thinking that maybe since we didn't need to use it for today, that maybe we do something show related.
That's not going to be our wedding band.
No. No. maybe.
Okay.
You know, maybe a contest or something where you can win the ring we didn't use or something. Maybe a contest to have a contest idea. Give us a contest idea. Win something. I don't know. But maybe we'll do something.
Yeah, you don't want to use it as a wedding ring. It's bad foreshadowing on your on your wedding. Yeah, your physical future. You don't want to do that.
Okay.
What a euphemism. Physical future.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
You are destined for radio.
So we did have a topic today, as we advertised on our website, and that was Charles Darwin. Yesterday was the anniversary of his birthday, and we had come up with the topic of, well, that given the fact that it was his birthday, and we've celebrated, what, his 201st, 202nd birthday.
200 and something.
Yeah, we wanted to really address one of the...
We actually had a whole show note thing going on here, which we haven't really even touched.
So Sam, why don't you take this? What's one of the things that annoys you about how people refer to and react to Charles Darwin?
Okay, Charles Darwin. Something we see in here all the time is Darwin is the prophet of science. He is the Jesus. He's the Messiah of the Church of Science. And that kind of gets my goat and other associated farm animals.
I want a building in a social hall if we've got a Church of Science.
Yeah, tax breaks, that'd be nice. Well, not really. But the thing is one of the things that really kind of, once again, is the problem is this is a topic and an argument I keep returning to, is that religious people and people who have trouble understanding the secular world seem to think that when we drop the religious context, when we edit God out of our social existence and whatever, that we have to replace it with something else. That if it's not God, then it's going to be science. If it's not God, then it's going to be nature. If it's not Jesus, it's going to be Darwin. If it's not Darwin, it's going to be Carl Sagan or something like that. And something that I say over and over again is it's not that we got rid of the top layer and everybody gets a free promotion. We are not suddenly God. Our argument is the ladder doesn't go that high. It's not like we fired Jesus or Muhammad and we're looking for somebody to replace him. It's we've laid him off and closed the shop, or that part of the shop. We're no longer in that business.
So his department has been made redundant?
His department has been made redundant, redundantly. And that's not in our lives anymore. And I think that's for those of you who are also free thinkers and might object to this, I think it works as a illusion, because if you look at the history of thought, especially from the Enlightenment today, we have been starting to look at the world in a naturalistic perspective and based on evidence and not based on faith and what a book says. So we have sort of closed that particular part of our company and have laid off God and Jesus in a way. So,
yeah, definitely. I think that referring to Darwin as a prophet is sort of it's another symptom of that inability to relate to someone who doesn't have the same sort of worldview as you. It's that, oh, well, if you don't worship God, you worship something else. No, I don't worship anything. I don't worship.
That's the whole stay home Sunday concept.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't stay home Sunday. We're here every Sunday at 3 p.m.
Don't tell them that.
If you would like to talk to us every Sunday at 3 p.m., go ahead and call us at 253-584-1480 or submit a question to us via email at askanatheist.tv. Go to askanatheist.tv and submit a question there by hitting the big red button.
You are keeping it cool.
I am keeping it cool. Just wait until 4 p.m. hits and I'm going to freak out.
I know. That smile is ever-present on your face. It's good. That's better than the alternative.
Sure. And we do have some examples of the misled. We did some Googling before the show, and I found a great article.
Beth and Sam came together and said, I had this before you did.
Charles Darwin, the False Prophet of Anti-Science by, I love this, the First Christian Fellowship of Eternal Sovereignty, which is the most dominionist-y sounding thing I have perhaps ever heard. And it's...
We could have at least gotten a cooler acronym.
Wow. I'm not certain we can say that on the radio.
Yeah.
Reading an acronym.
And it's got quotes like, Darwinism and the theory of evolution are not science. To call them such would be to insult the credibility of science, da-da-da-da. History will ultimately judge neo-Darwinism as a minor 20th century religious sect within the sprawling religious persuasion of Anglo-Saxon biology.
I'm wondering why Anglo-Saxon biology would be religious, whereas, I don't know, maybe American Indigenous or Australian Aboriginal biology may be not religious.
And I love this argument because it's saying science, or Darwin isn't a science. Darwin is neo-Darwinianism isn't truth. It's a religion, just like us.
Yeah, exactly. As if it's sort of an insult for them to compare us to them.
And it's sort of making the hidden assumption that if the hidden argument here that I think they're making, not realizing they're making, is that religion isn't truth, and that's why Darwinian evolution, which isn't really a thing, really, isn't a science.
If you're talking about Darwinian evolution, I have to imagine the only thing you could really be talking about is natural selection.
Yeah.
Since that's the component that Darwin really added in that made it all sort of make a little bit more sense. But I have a general rule of thumb when I'm looking online, especially at anything, and I'm sort of just giving it a once over and making a truth, sort of making my opinion on whether or not these people are telling the truth or not. And I make that judgment in part on the use of scare quotes. if there are too many scare quotes, I tend to, and I'll admit to this, I tend to question whether or not the person actually knows what they're talking about. And I will say that in one, I'm looking at just a single paragraph of this, and there is no less than 6 uses of scare quotes, which is quotation marks around words to sort of imply that you shouldn't trust them or whatever.
And neo-Darwinism or whatever, it was a thing in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. It was there was sort of an eclipse of Darwin at some point because they really hadn't married it to genetics yet. And then they started making that comparison, and then it sort of came back into effect, and those people were called neo-Darwinians. But in this modern culture where we have neo-fascists and neo-communists, I love how the religious people and people who are against evolution have sort of reappropriated that and now apply it to evolution, neo-evolution or to make it seem scary.
Yeah, exactly. Neo-Darwinism, much like neo-Nazism, dun-dun, that sort of thing.
Right.
And it looks like, are we going to take a call?
Or do we have a call? Or?
We do have a call. We have a call from Paul in Florida. Paul, go ahead.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
We're doing well, thank you. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. How have you all dealt with, I am an alcoholic. I'm clean sober for 21 years. Last month, I think I'm my 21-year age.
Congratulations. Good job, guy.
Thank you. After having watched the Atheist Experience on the ACA on the ACA website and read Richard Dawkins and Daniel Dennett, I'm on the brink of atheism, of being an atheist, but I fear that renouncing my belief may jeopardize my sobriety, and keeping sober is the most important duty I have to myself today. I was wondering how have you all dealt that?
That's a difficult one. Not being a counselor in any professional sense, I feel a little inadequate to answering this one. And this is one of the things that I like about being an atheist, is that when I don't know, I can say I don't know. But what I can tell you is that there are organizations out there who can help you and will help you make that transition in the context of recovering from alcoholism or being a recovered alcoholic. I know we've got one fellow out here in Tacoma who used to run a sort of a men's group, or what was that?
Support group.
A support group for atheism. And then he does counseling for people in terms of atheism.
I think one thing that we can follow up with is, because we may not know right off the top of our heads right now, there are secular organizations that look at staying sober from a secular perspective, in contrast to what AA may say. And we can put up some of those links on our website as a follow-up to that.
Definitely, yeah.
Absolutely. If you would do me a favor and let us, and actually contact us on our website, I would be happy to do some research for you. I've actually got some names of people that I refer people to. I just don't have them on me, and I'd be happy to put you in contact with some people. And I'd also like to talk to you as your journey continues. Is that atheism and substance abuse was actually something we wanted to talk about on the show.
And it's always really neat to hear from folks who say, well, I'm on the brink of atheism, and that's a really neat way to describe it. Lots of people will say, I'm on the fence, or I'm agnostic, and I'm definitely not atheist.
Once upon a time, I think you described yourself that way, didn't you?
Possibly, once upon a time.
So,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Is there one more real quick question? I can take this off the air so you get to other calls. But, another reason is how do y'all deal, like, when the chips are down, like car broke down, tires flat, and it's raining in the middle of the night? Oh God, please help me! How do y'all deal with that?
All right, yeah, we'll definitely take that. You have a good day, and I know how I would deal with that, because I deal with that a lot. My car is kind of falling apart.
You're just saying that because my parents are listening right now?
No. I'm saying it because I'm terrible to cars.
But, yeah, what happens when you're down in the dumps, when things are kind of crummy, and we can't say, Darwin, save me, or God, save me, or help me.
Darwin.
We certainly don't pray to Darwin.
Yeah, we certainly don't pray to Darwin. And this is one of the things I say that a lot of people don't get, is one of the things I really appreciate about being a humanist and an atheist and a freethinker is the personal responsibility, is that when the chips are down and things aren't going my way and it's raining and my headlight's out and my car is far away, it's my responsibility to make it right. And personally, that responsibility, that going forward and making my life the way I want it, is actually a source of pride for me, and a source of power. I have to go do this because no one's going to do it for me. I can't wait for something to happen. And then, and this is something, this is the joy of responsibility, is when you've done it and when you've turned it around and when you've made it better, you can look back on it and say, I have the ability to do this, and I can do this whenever it is necessary.
Well, and also I think one of the things that always helps me, especially when things happen that are truly out of my control, is that I can look at my life and my situation and I can honestly say that I have done everything I can think of to possibly do to help my situation. So when things are still negative or bad or somehow are making me unhappy, it's easier for me personally, and this might not be the case for other people, to accept the fact that sometimes things just kind of suck. And not really obsess over that and get upset about it. Because, and I think maybe it is because I don't have some sort of creator that I'm looking to go, why aren't you making this better? I can just go, yeah, sometimes things don't work out.
That, you know, you can't fix everything. And I believe that that's part of the sort of the AA thing. But you can always do something. As long as you have the freedom to enact agency on your life, you can always change something.
Definitely.
And that includes reaching out to the people around you.
Yeah.
The actual real people that are here in your midst that are able to support you and help you through things. Sometimes people will often look to other situations, to other people, other ways to get a sort of a head start on seeing, well, what's going to happen? Is my life going to get better? Is my life going to get bad? And we maybe are tempted to consult with, astrologers or or politicians or maybe even witches. I think Sam has a news article.
We're reaching the bottom of the hour, so we gotta power through this. But this comes to us from the Irish Times, and this is Witch's Curse as Romania Spells Out Plans to Tackle False Predictions. For the second time in a month, Romania's witches are cursing its political leaders for making unforeseen moves against their ancient occult trade. After reforming employment law in January to force witches to pay the same 16% income tax as Romania's ordinary mortals, the government is seeking to punish clairvoyants whose predictions fail to come true. For some Romanian politicians, this is the only latest in a round of long-running battle to make the country's thousands of witches, alternative healers, and astrologers pay taxes and become more accountable for the actions. One of the things I've heard, which I actually kind of like, is that they're requiring witches to get licensed. And I love this because Jerry, during the TV show, made a list of imaginary creatures and included, you know, leprechauns and rainbow mites and witches. And then we got a whole bunch of emails from people saying, there are certainly witches. And yeah, I know
witches aren't false things. They're not made up things.
So. And the other thing is, if they soothsay, to sort of quote Glover from last week, they and their sooth becomes incorrect or they're proven wrong, they must offer a refund, is something that I've read in that law.
That is amazing. I think that's the best idea in a long list of good ideas.
So I got to ask, Sam, did you consult a witch about this?
No. No.
But are you calling me a witch?
Not somebody.
You consulted Beth?
Yeah, not somebody I'd call a witch in front of their face. And this goes on a bit, and I encourage people to check this out online, but this is, I think, my favorite part. There's somebody who's putting a hex on the government of Romania. And it goes on to say, Ms. Buzia, who was jailed for witchcraft in the 1970s, has threatened to strike down Romania's rulers with a spell involving cat excrement and a dead dog.
Yeah, just think about that for a second.
Classy.
Yeah.
put together the countless different combinations that that could come into play.
Yeah, she's going to get all Martin awesome. Luther on him.
Well, Sam, that was certainly enlightening. Beth, thank you so much for joining us as well
thank
today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
This was quite the episode of Ask an Atheist with myself, Rebecca Friedman hosting, Sam and Beth joining me here in the booth. Our production assistants today were Scott Leopold and Mike Gillis, and our call screener today was Deanna Joy. There's a whole crew of other people that were eagerly sitting here that I didn't know about, waiting in the wings to cheer or wait in suspense. So thank you guys.
Once again, if you'd like to talk to us outside of the context of the show, you can go to askanatheist.tv and click on the shiny red button.
Thank you very much. We're produced by NEMD Media.
NEDM
Media, pardon me. And we're always available at askanatheist.tv.
Think you don't have the right stuff to make a difference? To shine?
She made her sky orange, her tree blue, and the cat a glorious purple. Those are the colors I had, Annie told me. She's just five, you know. Annie didn't wait till she had all the right materials. She saw a picture to paint and worked with what she had. Too bad grown-ups forget how to just jump in like that when we see a need. Do what we can and paint with the colors we're given.
Just a reminder from your United Methodist friends that you were born to shine.
Keeping you informed, this is KLAY, Lakewood, Tacoma.